Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, Brent Chance, Wave Truth Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. I'll tell you, you know, every time I play that intro, it just does something to me, especially that guy there at the end. And, you know, it's like I said last week when I had Tim on the show, your demons know who Jesus is. I mean, that's in the Bible. I mean, Jesus would commonly address demons and people that were possessed, and they would recognize him and actually call him the Son of God, and he would rebuke them because he didn't want that known yet, but they knew exactly who he was. And you know, last week, number one too is that I have learned more about Spice and K2 than I ever wanted to know. And I'll tell you, the thing about it is that what I do know about it and what I have learned about it is that it's demonic, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, again, last week I was joined in the studio by Tim, and Tim's struggle was with, you know, prescription medications, you know, psychotropic drugs, antidepressants, things like that, which have a very similar effect. Some of them, that they kind of alter your consciousness depending on what dosage you're on. And so it can actually create some of the same symptoms, some of the same problems. And we covered that last week and last week's show, and that, you know, some of the effects, side effects that he was having with those drugs and some of the visions and things that and darkness that he felt is the same thing that people that are smoking this synthetic marijuana or regular marijuana, you know, these mind altering drugs, the experiences were the same. Last week we said the destination was the same. They may have taken a different road to get there, but they still got there. And the place they got to was the fact that they had opened themselves up to demonic forces. And I want to be clear, because I'm not sure that I've done this yet. I'm not sure that I've been clear on this. And my position as a Christian and my personal position is when you alter your consciousness, you do something that takes down your conscious mind, you are opening up a doorway. Okay? You're opening up a gateway. And when your conscious mind goes down due to the drugs, some people say your subconscious takes over. I say the demonic spiritual realm takes over. And that's why you've got people that I watch videos where guys were standing in court telling the judge, I just want you to know, I don't remember any of this stuff that you guys are telling me. I don't remember one thing of it. Now, how is that? Okay, because their conscious mind doesn't remember what happened, yet their body went on and did all these things. And so they have opened themselves up demonically to the spirit realm. And their bodies were controlled by demons. Okay. That's my position. When you do these drugs, you're just asking for that to happen. All right. And so last week I read a verse from Acts 19, 13 through 16, and I'm going to read it again because it kind of ties into a video I saw this last week when I was researching some up on K2 Spice. There was a video online of a sheriff, and he said, well, whenever we respond to one of these calls, somebody that's on bath salts or spice or K2, he said, the officer, they're trained not to engage by themselves. In fact, he goes, we have to wait until we get about 10 to 12 officers there before we can subdue somebody that's hyped up on these drugs. And it was so funny. So it takes literally one man it takes 10 to 12 police officers to physically subdue him. And so I just want to read Acts 19, 13 through 16 to you. And you tell me if this sounds what just like what that cop was saying. It says, but also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempting to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus. Now, we just addressed that because demons know Jesus. And he says, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit dwelt leapt on them, subdued them, all of them, and overpowered all of them, so that they fled out of the place, the house, naked and wounded. One man against seven. And seven couldn't subdue the one man. Sheriff, on the video online, one police officer is not enough. It takes at least 10 to 12 for one man. You see what I'm saying? It's the same thing, folks. It's demonic. It's a demonic entity that has overtaken. And so I'm glad today to be joined in the studio by a good friend of mine who's agreed to join us and share his personal testimony. And I'm going to bring him on here in just a second. But I just want to reiterate that these drugs can be bought still today at, you know, smoke shops and head shops and gas stations. In many states, they're still legal. Here in Indiana, I don't believe it's legal any longer, but you can, don't make no mistake, you can still get them. They usually sell them from underneath the counter, but it's still available in a lot of states, and there are a lot of people getting hurt that are doing it. And so what I want to do is I just want to play an intro clip here, and then I'm going to bring Dwight on. And this clip is just of some of the, you know, just the tragedies that K2 Spice has caused a lot of people. So I'm going to play this, and I'll bring Dwight on.
Hey, welcome back. Keeping them honest tonight. A threat that really all parents need to know about. Colorado health officials are investigating three deaths to determine if they're tied to a batch of synthetic marijuana that sent close to 150 people to the hospital. It's not an isolated problem either. Synthetic designer drugs are flooding into the United States, mostly from China, and they're being sold to younger and younger teenagers. The highs they deliver can be very, very potent, dangerously so. They're caused psychotic reactions, kidney failures, and suicides. Law enforcement, though, is having a tough time just keeping ahead of the chemistry involved.
I had never heard of so-called synthetic marijuana until probably the day after my son died. I was at my friend's house, and I got a phone call. And I was told that my son had died.
Our son, no different than any other child here in Frederick County, he was a straight-A student, played baseball, did everything by the books. And then unfortunately, you know, somebody either introduced him or however he got involved in it, and it was all downhill from there.
1 in 9 high school seniors admitted to trying synthetic cannabinoids in 2011, according to a survey by the University of Michigan. And Karen fears it won't be long before there are more deaths as a result of these dangerous chemicals.
Max was the perfect son. He did all the right things. He made one mistake, and it killed him.
Smith already knows what they can do.
He wanted to know if I could read his mind. He was having some hallucinations, hearing voices, and that scared me. He told me that he had smoked spice, and my reaction was that he had gotten it out of the kitchen cabinet.
Smith's son was 15 when he smoked spice, a chemical version of marijuana, kill himself before seeking help. He has spent the last 3 years in and out of psychiatric hospitals.
We had a normal functioning child. And the next day we had a non-functioning child who did not want to live, who did not want to be here, who was hearing things and seeing things.
Who was hearing things and seeing things. Hearing voices, seeing images, seeing dark shadows, shadow people. Folks, it's demonic. I don't know what else to say. It's straight up demonic. You know, one of the frightening things on that clip that I just heard was that they said in 2011, 1 in 9 teenagers had tried spice, K2 or spice, and that's a frightening statistic. 1 in 9. And these teenagers that were getting killed and having these terrible accidents and things like that, were doing it because they were told that it was legal and it was must be okay because you can buy it right down at the convenience store. So, well, like I said before, today I'm joined in the studio with my special guest and good friend, Dwight Odell Carter. Dwight is, I met Dwight, actually it was at a men's Christian retreat. On Sunday, they do a closing at this particular retreat, and I would always enjoy going to the closing just to hear the testimonies of the different men and kind of hear how the weekend impacted them, how the Lord impacted them. And so Dwight, I remember specifically, I don't remember a lot of the different testimonies, but every now and then one just hits you, and the Lord just, I always call it, the Lord just sets off the light bulb. And when Dwight got up and did his closing little talk, the light bulb went off, and I just kind of knew that God was going to connect us together. So Dwight, thanks for coming. I really appreciate you being here and sharing tonight.
Thanks for having me, Brent. I'm glad to be here.
We were talking before we went on air here, and Dwight was a little bit nervous, and I said, well, it's just like we're having a conversation, like we're sitting in the truck or you know, doing something together. It's nothing super complicated, but Dwight, just to bring the people up to speed, why don't you share a little bit of your testimony, okay? And let's start with in the aspect of how did you, you know, hear about Spice? What led you to it? You know, let's just start there.
Well, you know, when I describe my walk with God, I usually put my hands up and I try to describe that I bounced back and forth between the world and God. Probably spent a lot more time in the world than I did with God. And
I think a lot of us could say that.
Yeah, exactly. And what came along with that is, you know, kind of the same typical stories from many people I come in contact with, you know, drug abuse, alcoholism, jail, things like that. So that was my lifestyle. And I've been in jail several times, and that was what always brought me back to talking to God. I got out of jail one time. And, you know, I was ready to live my life sober. And, well, at least I thought I was. And I was sitting at home one day. I was currently on probation, which meant, you know, I'm drug tested and you know, under the microscope. And I remember sitting there and the news was on. And a segment come on and the newscaster pretty much said something like this here. There's a new drug that is being called synthetic marijuana that got my attention. She said it's being sold at gas stations. That got my attention. She said it's legal. She said it does not show up on drug screens.
Ding, ding, ding.
I was sold. And
wow.
That's pretty much, I feel like I watched an advertisement on the news about this new drug,
right.
and I went for it.
Right, right. And I wonder how many other people saw that same program and were thinking the same thing. Because one of the things I noticed online and some of the videos, there was one family, and I think their son was like 17, and he had struggled with drugs since he was 15, and obviously had gotten in some trouble. And the reason why he liked the smoke spice, K2 spice, was because it wouldn't show up on drug tests.
Yeah.
And so that was a big deal. And I think one of the people, you know, to tell you guys how important this topic is, for lack of a better word, this week on Facebook, we've had over 2,000 post reviews on this topic. When we're putting up different promo things, over 2,000 people have viewed it. Tons of comments, lots of people commenting on, hey, they know exactly what we're talking about. They've tried it. They've used it. They know the demonic part of it. And so, you know, that just goes to show you how widespread and how wide a net that this drug has cast. And so it is an important topic. And so Dwight, so back up just a little bit. So what led you to jail? Was it other drug use or think problems with other drugs or
drugs? I had anger issues as well, and usually I would go to jail for anger issues and then be put on probation, where I was expected to do drug screens and this and that. And I always had a problem not quitting smoking marijuana. So every time I filled probation, that was why I filled probation, which obviously led me back to jail.
Right, right. And I think you had told me before that was the epiphany you had, was that you had to figure out a way to get off the marijuana because you were done going back and forth to jail. And when you saw the newscast, that seemed like the golden ticket.
Yes.
Okay, well, so now you've heard the newscast and you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, well, that sounds pretty good to me. So what'd you do after that?
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to hold it back here. I looked for the nearest gas station and, you know, being no stranger to illegal drugs and how you hide out and meet people and have to set all this up, it was awkward walking into a gas station and saying, hey, do you guys have this spice? And the places that had it, they were more than happy to give it to you.
Right, right. Well, on one of the videos, the gal said that their kids had gone into the place and the guy actually sold them on it. I mean, they didn't even go in there looking for it. He sold them on it and told them to try it. And, you know, and of course they did, and the rest was a tragedy. But so you went into the gas station and asked for spice and they happened to have it and sold it to you?
You know, I took it home. I tried it. And I want to say this, I may be jumping ahead here, so forgive me if I am.
If you do, we'll still move forward.
When this first hit and it was advertised as synthetic marijuana, in my opinion, that stuff that initially came out, that's pretty much it of the feeling I got when I used the first batch of spice that was coming out. Now, things started changing when the legalization and stuff being brought into court and chemical compounds changing, and that's when things really started getting worse.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point because I think some of the earlier versions were actually a little more mundane.
Mild.
Yeah, yeah, because they...
not that I'm advocating.
Right, no.
At all.
Obviously, he's not or he wouldn't be here. But they did... they did say that the earlier versions were more, well, number one, they were more uniform in their manufacturing process. And then when they had to start changing the compounds, well, then you had these garage chemists trying to figure out how, if I just change this one molecule and replace it with X instead of Y, well, then I'm skirting the law. And they did. It was a game of cat and mouse. I mean, basically the FDA or the DEA would outlaw a certain compound.
And there'd be something back
overnight. Yeah. So what they would do is basically have one ready where they change one molecule. Now it's not the same compound. So now it's not against the law, quote unquote. And so the police, in a lot of the videos you watch, they'll say it's kind of a cat and mouse game is really what it is. As fast as they find out what the new compounds are and make those illegal, they already have one already figured up in the lab and ready to roll. But one of the things you and I were talking about too was that you get into quality issues when they start messing with the compounds and quickly have to make changes. And so you'll get a batch because there were several instances where people smoked the same thing and they liked a particular brand or whatever. And they'd done it hundreds of times. And yet they got this one batch where maybe they sprayed, it got a little extra heavy dose of the compound and it just sent them off the deep end. And, you know, I'm talking people going into comas, people, you know, having seizures.
Yes.
Heart problems. I mean, all kinds of physical problems. And so, yeah, I think when they did outlaw that first initial wave, they really opened up another can of worms for people to come in and really start playing around with that stuff.
When I was sitting here listening to the clip that you just played of the newscasters reporting the deaths and everything, I remember those while I was first getting into this. And that's another reason why I'm saying that the first stuff that came out was because I would be using that, but hearing that stuff was happening, and I'm thinking somebody's lying.
Right.
It was my first thought was, hold on, there's people dying from this? I'm not getting this kind of reaction.
Right, right. Yeah, well, and I think, too, that a lot of those places where you were hearing about people passing away were in the states that had already outlawed the initial compound.
They were ahead of us.
Right, and so they were already moving into, okay, radically changing the chemical composition of what was going into these things. So Dwight, talk to me a little bit about, like, the effects that you would get when you smoked it.
You want me to talk about the worst effects?
You know, I don't care if you start with the beginning, and then.
Well, as I said at the beginning, you know, I really was able to compare it to smoking, you know, weed.
Uh-huh.
As it did change, you know, it kind of it blindsided me.
Yeah.
It really did. It blindsided me. I got to where I'd extreme paranoia.
Right.
Thinking everybody around me is after me. And if they're not after me, if I walked into a room and there was people in there, I immediately thought they were talking about me.
Yeah.
Immediately. Planning something. I don't know. Lack of appetite. I lost weight. I lost weight enough to where I did have people asking me, hey, is there something going on? And of course I lied about it. Loss of sleep. Up for days.
Wow.
For days. Now here's the messed up thing though. I was able to maintain a job.
Right.
Not only maintain a job, but get promoted.
Hmm.
So I was able to lie to myself and tell myself I didn't have a problem. Yeah, I possessed. Sometimes I felt just possessed. I knew I was not thinking as me. And
something else maybe in control a little bit and
yes.
Have given you thoughts. Well, obviously that's a common thing that I heard time and time again in doing the research. And I'll tell you, you know, when you start talking about being awake for days on end, you know, I start thinking of like meth.
Yes.
Speed and stuff like that. That's the stuff that keeps you awake days on end.
I would more compare to the last time I've seen people on this stuff, which I'm not around anybody that's on it currently, but I would compare it to a meth type thing because they are craving for it. When it is out, they need more. Everything that they have is going to this.
Yeah, well, there's a huge problem, I guess, in Harlem in New York, and it's an epidemic among the homeless population and the poor, and you've got all these, I mean, I'm just going to call it like I see it, like Indian or Middle Eastern-owned convenience stores and gas stations that are selling this stuff, even though they're not supposed to be, they still sell it, and these people are going right out on the street because they can take a package of spice and smoke it all day, and it's just a few bucks. You know what I mean? It's not like the cost of marijuana. I mean, it's hard to believe. I mean, I don't usually think of marijuana as being overly expensive, but at the same time, so it's even cheaper than that. And so people that might've normally been smoking marijuana, which is okay, let's face it. It's a natural plant. If you smoke it right out of the ground, you don't have all the compounds and the chemicals and all that stuff on it. And so they're leaving that, going to this cheaper version.
And legal
at the time, and skirting the drug issues, the drug testing and all that, you know, so they're getting around all that. I mean, it was like the best, for lack of a better analogy, it was the best of all worlds, when really it was the worst of all worlds.
Yes.
But you know what I'm saying. In their mind, they're thinking, this is the best of all worlds. I can smoke it and get higher than I can on marijuana. It's cheaper than marijuana.
I can buy
it at the gas station. I don't have to go call up my dealer and go meet somewhere and do it on the down low. And when I get drug tested, it doesn't show up in the drug test. So, I mean, it was and is the perfect storm of a tragedy. And, you know, far too many, I'm sorry to say, far too many Christians have tried it. And I mean, you can be a born again Christian and try this. And you let your conscience down, and you're still going to have demonic influence come in. Now, I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you to a point, but at some point, if you're doing this and your conscious mind goes down, you've opened yourself up. You've opened the gateway. And as far as I'm concerned, we're really getting into an area that where God says, I don't want you, you know, pursuing soothsayers and sorcery and, you know, contacting the spirit realm. The God is very clear in his mm-hmm. word, and yet people are doing it not really knowing that that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's how the devil likes to work. I mean, he doesn't want to, I mean, he wants to trick you to get in there. You know, if you're not going to walk through the front door and do the Ouija board and get into the sorcery and witchcraft and all that, well, I'm going to trick you. I'm going to put something on you that's going to allow you. Same thing. I'm still going to get you there.
I had a friend tell me last week that the devil can hand you a bucket of crap and make it look like a pail of roses.
Well, I mean, that's the truth, right? I mean, that's what he does. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. He's a deceiver. He's a liar from the beginning. And so, he does. And, you know, the funny thing is, I was thinking today when I was driving, I don't know why this thought came to me. My wife and I were driving today, and this thought came to me, and it really rings true. And that is, the only power the devil really has over a Christian is the power we give him.
Exactly.
It's the power that we hand over to him. That's so, the only power the devil, and I want you guys out there that are listening, the only power, if you're a Christian, the only power the devil has over a Christian's life is the power that a Christian's willing to give him. Now, if you want to smoke this stuff or do something and or get drunk, whatever, you know, anything that alters your consciousness, you're giving him power when you do that. Just know that. You're giving him power. You're opening a gateway. You're saying your conscious mind shuts down. So
we were discussing before this, and I'd mentioned to you that, you know, back in when I was drinking heavily, I used to have blackouts.
Yes.
And, you know, I would wake up the next day and people would be telling me things I did, you know, fully functioning, talking to people, you know, did whatever, but I don't remember it. But obviously something was in me running my body. Not that I'm taking responsibility away from myself, but obviously something was in control, whereas I was not.
Right. It goes back to the guy standing in court telling the judge, you know, Your Honor, I don't remember any of these things that I'm charged with. Well, your mind may have shut down, and in your mind, you don't remember it, but your body went and did those things. Your body went and drove that car that had an accident. Your body went and robbed the store. Your body, you know, went and beat somebody. You know, your body operated without you. And that's what I'm getting at, is that you're going to do this stuff, and I don't care if it's alcohol, drugs, whatever, if you do it to the extreme to where your subconscious mind starts going down, you know, how many times have you heard somebody say, man, I wish I hadn't have done that. I got, you know, so drunk or whatever, and I ended up in a bar someplace I shouldn't have been, and there was this woman, and, you know, one thing led to another, and I don't believe I did that. Well, or you hear about somebody killing themselves or killing somebody else, and their neighbors on the news saying, I just can't believe it. I would have never have imagined that so-and-so would have done something like that. Well, so-and-so wouldn't have in their right mind. However, they let their conscious mind go down. The demonic forces moved in and made them do their body do things. They controlled the body, and they come to kill, steal, and destroy. They're out to destroy your life.
Exactly.
So they're going to destroy your life. Okay. If you've got a happy, good marriage and you let your guard down, you get all drunk or you get impaired and you're in a bar and you're someplace you shouldn't be, next thing you know, the demonic forces move in, bada bing, bada bang.
And then
you're
divorced.
You're facing divorce. and you're sitting there and you're like, what happened? How did this happen? You know? And so go back to White, you're using this stuff. It kind of snuck up on you. It's starting to go a little bit more to the extreme now. We're beyond the normal effects of marijuana in the early stages. Now we've moved into some darker stuff.
Okay, I mentioned, you know, the extreme paranoia and the lack of sleep and things like that. Okay, well, that was a stage of its own, because now we're at a point where I'm hearing things.
Okay.
Not necessarily voices talking to me, but let's say I'd be sitting in a room with someone and I could have swore I heard them say something to me or look at me funny or something like that, to where I'm just on edge now. I got to where I was hallucinating visually and audio wise. You know, I have to give it to my wife. My wife put up with a lot of stuff. I was accusing her of talking to other people, but here's the thing. I was accusing her of having a Bluetooth on her shoulder. And every time that she would put her face to her shoulder, you know how you wipe your chin?
Yeah.
Something, you know?
Yeah. The audience can't see you do that,
yeah.
But I see.
For some reason, I thought she was talking to somebody. There was absolutely no reason for me to think these things at all, other than whatever was going on in my head.
Yeah.
I began seeing things. I began having nightmares. The worst event was sleep paralysis.
Yeah, let's stop on that for just a minute, because that's something that we may end up doing a whole show on that, because that came up in some other research I was doing, and I was actually talking to another good Christian brother of our of mine named Dave, and you know him as well, and he said, and I was explaining to him some research I was doing, and this thing's called sleep paralysis. And he's like, well, that happens to me.
Yeah.
That's happened to me before. And he
said it like it was normal.
Yeah. Well, he said it like, I can't believe he brought that up. I thought maybe I was, you know, I was the only one that it happened to, but he's not. It happens to a lot of people. And so I'm going to stop right here and not stop completely, but I just want to say, if you have any questions or if you'd like to call in and talk to Dwight or myself, here's the call-in number. It's area code 646-787-1949. 646-787-1949 is the number to call in if you'd like to talk to us, be part of the show, share maybe your own testimony. We'd love to hear from you. So yeah, if you want, you can call in and you'll pop up on the screen here and we'll be able to take your call. But yeah, the sleep paralysis thing, you know, I was researching that and I was amazed by that. And essentially, for those of you guys that don't know what that is, it's a situation where in your sleep, you will kind of awaken and there will be this feeling of dread and kind of despair and fear that takes over, and you're awake, but you can't move. Your body is not, it just paralyzed by this oppression, this fear, and you can't hardly speak. And, you know, one of the things, Dwight, that I had researched people with sleep paralysis, a lot of them said the only thing that would allow them to break free of that oppression was that they said they tried everything. They tried to scream. They tried to move. And they said, and most of them would say, and then I just called on the name of Jesus. And when I called on the name of Jesus, I was instantly released. And, you know, so I don't know if you've had any experience like that, but yeah, the whole sleep paralysis thing was.
It's something I'll never forget. It's only happened to me once. And it was very dreadful. I'm gonna back up just a little bit.
Yeah.
I had gotten to a point where, you know, I realized that I had a problem, a very big problem. And I actually finally reached out to my dad. My dad lived in Indianapolis. I lived up north. I was able to lie and say how great things were in my life and how everything was great. And he was proud of me. So when I called my dad and I told him I was on this drug and I couldn't get off of it and I needed help, that is a very big thing for me to do.
Yeah.
I pretty much had to bust down a wall. But I'll tell you what, my dad was right there to get me.
Yeah.
And long story short, my wife and I relocated to his house. He let us come and stay with him.
Yeah.
So, okay, one of the nights I'm back in the room we were staying in, and I was still using it this time. I was laying in bed, and I was watching TV. I was laying on my back. I had my wife to my side, and she was already asleep. And I just got through smoking some, you know, and it was usual. It was still usual at this point. This is the moment that made me, you know, I'd questioned it, and I wanted away from it, but this was about to be the moment. I'm laying there, and all of a sudden, I couldn't move. I was fully awake. I was looking at the TV still. The TV was still going. I was awake.
Uh-huh.
Very aware of everything around me, but I could not move. I could not lift my arms. I could not turn my neck. I could not blink my eyes. And worse than that, it felt like something was sitting on my chest.
Right.
And I'll even go even further. It felt like something was staring me in the face.
Yeah.
Sitting on my chest. And I remember it. I was so frightened. I was in my head. I was wanting to nudge my wife. I was wanting to nudge her, and I couldn't. In my head, I'm screaming her name over and over and over, and I can't get it to come out of my mouth. I'm even screaming God in my head, and I can't get it to come out of my mouth. But when I thought Jesus, it was like I came out of a coma.
Oh, nice. Beautiful.
I was right up.
Yeah.
I was right up, and I began sweating.
Name above all names.
And That's when I woke my wife up. I told her this whole story. And this event is what led me to check myself into a stress center.
Yeah.
And when I went into this place, I really thought I was going crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, because I had people telling me that they thought I was going crazy, but when people are telling you that they think you're crazy, you're more prone to say, no, you're crazy.
Right, exactly.
Okay, well, I finally, you know, I remember sitting down in the kitchen with my dad after this event and saying, you know, Dad, you know, maybe I do need to go check in somewhere. Take me. I ended up going down to the Wishart Stress Center. And I went in there and I talked to one of their doctors, and they asked me, you know, straight up what's going on. And I was completely honest with them. I told him I've been doing spice and bath salt for the past year every day. And their jaws pretty much dropped on the floor.
Yeah.
And I said, do you not hear that? And she said, well, we've had people come in here and say that they've only tried it once, and they're in here trying to tear off our wallpaper, and we don't have any wallpaper. So for you to sit here and tell me that you've been doing this for a year and you've been maintaining, yeah, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I looked at her and I said, I feel like I've lost my mind. And she says, well, you may have. And I was real serious when I looked at her and said, can I get it back? And she said, you've got to quit doing what you're doing. And then, yeah, on from there.
And you may have already said this, and if I missed it, forgive me, but didn't you also said, you told her that you were doing some bath salts as well, right? And then yes. That really floored her, right?
Yes.
Because the one is bad enough, but bath salts is a whole nother thing, again, quote-unquote quasi-legal thing.
It was pushed as synthetic cocaine.
Yeah, yeah.
Far, never mind.
Right, right. Well, so you checked into the stress center. How long were you there?
I sat there for maybe 4 or 5 hours, enough to calm down, uh-huh. Then to talk to me, give me information about free clinics and Narcotics Anonymous, something I had wanted no stranger to begin with. And, you know, I went through some of those and kind of got back into the thinking that I was in beforehand of needing to be away from this. I've been through Narcotics Anonymous and drug rehab. So I knew how to come off of this. But like I said, this, it just blindsided me. So big.
Right. Right. And so what took you off of it? Like finally got you off of it?
Well, my wife became pregnant with my fourth child.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what did it. The way that this child was brought into the world, God revealed himself to me. God spoke to me. Are you wanting me to elaborate a little bit on this?
Okay. You can. I'm not cutting you off from doing anything.
All right,
but real quick again, hey, everybody, if you want to call in and talk to Dwight or talk to me, the number is 646-787-1949. 646-787-1949. There'll be an automated answering system. It'll tell you what to do. You'll pop up on the screen here, and I'll click over, and we'll get you on the air, and you can ask Dwight questions. But, yeah, I'm not cutting you off, Dwight. I mean, you – yeah, tell me about – I heard the voice of God, you know, more than once. I'm down with it. Go ahead.
Throughout the whole 9 months that she was pregnant, I was struggling with it. I wanted to be off of it. But I kept, you know, backstepping. The day that baby Dwight was born, this would be Dwight Carter III. The day that he was born was a very big day that God revealed himself. And I'll tell you how. My wife was scheduled to have a scheduled C-section. The thing was she started going into labor a week before that. So here we are a week before the scheduled C-section, we have to rush to the hospital. Well, she's not really having too quick of contractions.
Right.
So selfish me, the mind state I was in at the time, you know, it's all me, me, me. The world revolves around me. On the way to the hospital, I decide to ask her, you care if I stop by Burger King? get something to eat. I don't want to eat nothing out of the vending machine. And she let me. Okay, so we pull into the drive-thru, and my phone rings, and it's my mom. Hi, Mom. I hadn't talked to my mom for about 6 months, so I'm excited to tell her that we're going to the hospital. I pick up the phone. I say, hey, Mom, you know what's going on? I'm taking her to the hospital. Baby's on the way. I said, hold on a minute. Leaned out the window, and I said, I need a number one with a Coke. Supersize or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I get back on the phone, and my mom says, you know, what the blankety blank are you doing? I said, Mom, I'm getting some Burger King. You better get your wife to the hospital right now.
Wow.
So I left the drive-thru. We had to get on the interstate to get down to Wishart. We had to go through many traffic lights, traffic, everything. We pull up to the hospital, and I did the classic, you know, go inside, get the wheelchair, bring it out, set her down, and, you know, took her up the elevator to the room, and checked her in, and you know, I had to go leave and park our Jeep. When I left her, I told her, you know, bye, I'll be right back. She smiled at me. I went and parked the Jeep. I wasn't gone longer than 10 minutes. I come back, and I get back to where I left her, and I'm hearing nothing but screaming now. I'm hearing my wife scream. I'm hearing doctors panic. I'm hearing her ask the doctors, you know, is the baby okay? And the doctors are telling her, we don't know. They're
wow.
talking about having to put her under anesthesia to deliver the baby. And they're telling me how if they have to do that, I'm not going to be allowed to be in the room. Well, this is my fourth child. I've been in the room for all of them. We're rushing through the hallways. I mean, this was a very panicked event. We get to the doors for the delivery, and a hand comes out and tells me I have to wait outside the door. I could have did a lot of things in this moment.
Hold on 1 second. There is somebody on hold, and I see you on hold. Just stay on hold for just a second while Dwight finishes the story, and we'll click over to you. So I just want to let you know, I acknowledge I see you on the call screen here, and I'll answer you in just a minute. Go ahead, Dwight.
So I could have did a lot of things in that moment. I could have raised hell.
Right.
You know, I could have banged on walls. I could have curled up in a ball and cried. I could have cussed and all kinds of stuff. But one thing I knew was I couldn't scrub up and go in and help.
Right.
That was the only thing that I would want to do. And the voice in my head told me, shut down, shut up, sit down. Everything is going to be fine. And it wasn't my voice.
Right.
That was God. So I listened to that voice, and I sat down, and I shut up, and everything was fine. Now, there was birth defects with my son due to loss of oxygen. But what the doctor told me was that if I would have got there, 5 minutes later, I'd have lost them both.
Wow.
Her uterus would have popped. So at that point, I'm left with this 5 minutes of time.
Wow.
We could have hit a stoplight.
Right.
Traffic could have been blocked. My mom might not have called me while I was sitting at Burger King.
In the drive-thru. Right.
So I took a point to, that's God.
Right.
And from that day forward, you know, with his birthing defects, the loss of oxygen, he was disabled. We had to go through all kinds of training courses. We had to go through learning how to give him medication, how to put a feeding tube through his belly. So I had to put everything aside. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason I know this is God, because I'm here to tell you now, if Dwight would have came as a normal, what we call a normal baby,
right,
it would have just been my fourth child. But the way he came diverted me towards God.
Yeah.
And I thank him for that. Who's on the line?
Well, I don't know. Let's click over and find out here.
God is real, everyone. And the devil is too. I've met them both.
Hey, it's Brent Chance with Way of Truth. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Brent? How you doing, Dwight?
We're doing good.
All right. What's your name? Who are you talking to here?
My name is Justin. Now, Dwight, I have a question for you. Going back to your story in the back room where you said, you know, you had your experience, from a person who has used spice and had my own experience, you know, hallucination with, how did you know that God was speaking to you as opposed to just the spice, or, you know, just the normal routine of that, you know, what was the deciding factor of this, you know, what, you know, again, what ultimately, you know, let you know that that was God as opposed to the drug?
As far as the sleep paralysis?
Just in general, you know, how, you know, what made you decipher between, you know, what was God and what was the drug?
Well, what it was really more was the event back in the back room during the sleep paralysis, me realizing that the name of Jesus was what brought me out of that, was what made me know that name had power in it. And the story I just told about how I know God talked to me and, you know, all of those things worked into God. If you're asking me if during the time while I was on Spice, if I thought I was talking to God, sometimes I probably might have thought I was, but I really think that I wasn't.
Right. Yeah, and I think, too, I think the important thing to remember, too, is that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So, it you know, look at what the voice was saying. You know, in the hospital with the baby coming, the voice said, sit down, be quiet, everything's going to be okay. That's a voice that's putting you at peace, right? The Prince of Peace. Any of the other voices you hear that are telling you, you know, to think these thoughts or maybe to hurt yourself or to get angry or to be suspicious, that's kill, steal, and destroy. So it just kind of, you can kind of differentiate, you know, the voice of God from the voice of the demons. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, you know, a lot of times, especially in the world nowadays, we people who, you know, who are on these drugs, you know, sometimes they can't decipher, you know, what is reality and what is not.
Right.
And that's the only reason why I asked the question, you know, to make
somebody
else out there.
I understand what you're saying now. Yeah, there was a lot of confusion like that, a lot of confusion, because the voices that I was hearing or the things that were leading me to think that people were against me or talking about me or whatever, at the time, I thought I was being told legit stuff and that people were after me. So you have a point in time where someone is lost completely and just being motivated by whatever is controlling them. I was what I would call a slave to this drug for a period of time. Did that answer your question?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, I was just asking it, you know, in regards to, you know, again, a lot of people in this world nowadays, you know, they want to see God and they want to hear God and they ask for God to, you know, reveal himself to them. And, you know, with being on those type of drugs, you know, it's kind of hard to decipher, you know, which is the voice of God and which is, you know, these drugs talking to me. So, you know, again, that was the only reason why I asked that question was, you know, maybe somebody out there listening who is trying to decide which is the voice that I'm supposed to listen to. You know, maybe your words would have helped them.
I'll tell you this: if you want to hear God, you need to be sober.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I mean, as long as you're on the drugs, you're always going to be questioning whether or not, you know, it's God or it's in your head or that type of thing. And again, it's the confusion that the enemy tries to create. So as long as you're on those drugs, you'll always be questioning, now, was that God or was that the drugs or was that me just tripping out? And so you really need to get yourself in a place where you can hear God speak to you. But I will say this. I mean, I know people that were stoned out of their minds and they said, hey, they clearly heard the voice of God and it sobered them up immediately. And they were like, you know what? That was God. And I don't know if you heard the intro clip, but there's a guy that's tripping out on K2 and it's clear that a demonic presence has taken over with him. And one of the guys that's partying with him starts saying, in the name of Jesus, you know, leave him alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, leave. In the name of Jesus Christ. And the guy's using the name of Jesus Christ. And the guy that's demonically having this episode suddenly just stops and shifts gears and says, hey, I remember that, you know, and he basically says, I remember the demon knows who Jesus is. So if God wants to get your attention, he can get your attention. I would just agree with Dwight and say, as long as you're using you're going to have a hard time differentiating between the voice of God and what God might be wanting you to do and these other voices.
Thank you for calling in.
Hey, not a problem, not a problem. You guys take care, and may God continue to bless you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know, there was a night I feel like I seen demons, but what I seen was shadows.
Right, right.
And I seen them vivid enough and was freaked out enough to where I had my wife scared, and I know she didn't see nothing.
Right.
But I remember sitting there saying, they're coming for me. They're coming for me.
Yeah.
And that was before the sleep paralysis and everything. I may have should have told that story first. But.
Well, Dwight, again, in some of the research that I've done, they kind of go hand in hand, the shadow people, the shadow figures, and the sleep paralysis. A lot of times people will actually see the shadow people and become so paralyzed with fear, that's kind of their sleep paralysis. They're awake, but they can't move out of sheer fear, and they will actually see these figures moving about the room, sitting on their chest,
yes,
getting on the bed beside them, you know, coming right up to them, looking at them, like literally looking right in their face. I'm getting the, you know, just chills sending up my spine right now and thinking about some of the things these people said. Literally would just stare right into their face. They can't scream for help. They can't move. They have to sit there and endure it, lest they say the name of Jesus. When they say the name of Jesus, without fail, they would tell you. You know, I think it's interesting. One of the things you had put on one of your Facebook posts, I actually copied and pasted it into a note, was a guy that was using spice that was an atheist. And he basically, yeah, he converted and became a believer because he was using a spice called demon spice. And when he used it, he had these demonic entities and experiences happen, and he suddenly realized, this is for real. And the thing is, it's like I said last week, when we were part of a deliverance one time over a small church on the east side, the guy kept, you know, the demon kept downplaying our faith in Jesus, and where's your Jesus now, and your Jesus can't do anything. And we basically told the demon, you realize if you're real, he's real. And in his name, you have to leave. And once the demon heard that, it was a whole different ballgame. Once the kid that was possessed and that whole thing went into him, it was a whole different ballgame. And from that point on, we were able to continue to minister to that guy. And I mean, I saw things that night. I don't even want to – that's a whole nother show in and of itself. I mean, I saw things that were straight up from the movies. But, you know – and again, if somebody else wants to call in, I do appreciate the last caller. The number to call in again is 646-787-1949, 646-787-1949. If you want to call in and talk to Dwight or myself, we've got a few minutes left here. So, Dwight, your son was born. He had some physical disabilities. You had to grow up real quick. Obviously, you had to learn, you know, how to do CPR, how to put a feeding tube in. I mean, he had a lot of problems.
Yes.
And so do you think you talk about a divine diversion? You know, you give credit to God for that. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. And it's
absolutely
amazing how God used your son to help you overcome, you know, the addiction to this drug and just kind of get your attention, you know?
It was really a blessing. And he not only got my attention, he got my whole family's attention. He got a lot of my friends' attention. He's still getting people's attention now when I tell this story.
Yeah.
I call him the silent apostle. That kid never said one word to me. He passed away at 16 months. He never said one word to me, but I feel like he taught me more than anybody else ever could.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Talking about how I met Dwight, I remember Dwight and I were given talks at a men's retreat, and this is when we first really met each other after I listened to his closing talk, and God kind of brought us together on this team, and we were talking. He and I were the last two up one night, and we're sitting there talking, and he said, well, what do you think about like word of faith and people praying for healing and all this and that? And I said, you know, I said, number one, I said, I totally believe in it, which I do. Obviously, I'm charismatic, so I believe in healings. I believe in the miracles. But I also believe it has to be done in the context of the will of God. If it's God's will, then they will live on and God will be glorified in it, either through their lives or through the miracle that he does. If they pass away and go on into heaven, God still works. And just like you just said, your son passed. But so Dwight's sitting there, and we're talking about this now. And I told Dwight, I said, but now I got a real problem with these guys that say, oh, if they laid hands on somebody and they didn't get better and they passed away, oh, well, your faith wasn't strong enough, right? Like your faith wasn't big enough. And if your faith was stronger, then you know, God would have healed them and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I despise that kind of teaching. I despise it. I told Dwight that night, 2 o'clock in the morning, I despise that kind of teaching. You know why? Because it's guys like us that have to come in behind those guys and clean up the mess and the wreckage that they leave behind in their wake. People crushed, their faith crushed, because people tell them, oh, your faith wasn't strong enough. What's that do to somebody's faith? You know what I mean? And so you got to come along behind them and say, wait a minute, they're not leaving room for God's will in all this. God has a will, and his will may be that person goes on and goes in to be with the Lord. But in that, in tragedy, there's always victory in tragedy. If you allow it, if you see it, if you see how God works, and you may not see it for years to come, but I have seen it time and time again in my own life and in other people's lives where they thought it was the absolute worst thing that they were going through. And then 6 months, a year down the road, they're like, they have the aha moment where they see like, oh God, that's why now, because they're in a position where they can witness to somebody. But Dwight and I were sitting there that night, and I'm telling him about, you know, despising that kind of teaching and stuff like that. And the next morning, Dwight has to give his talk. And of course, I'm sitting in the front table, front row, literally right in front of Dwight. And he gets up there and starts talking about his son passing away. And I just overwhelmed me. I just had to weep because I had no idea that, you know, in the context of that conversation that night before, that I was talking to somebody who literally had a child that passed away.
I'll repeat that story.
All right, well, go ahead.
What I told Brent, well, what I said during the talk that Brent's talking about is, I'd say about 2 weeks before my son passed away, there was an altar call at my church, Arcadia Brethren Church, where they were, you know, anointing people with oil. And, you know, I figured it couldn't hurt nothing. I carried baby Dwight up there, and the whole church laid hands on him. They anointed him with oil. They prayed for him. And, you know, I took him home.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, he passed away. A lot of people would look at me and be like, well, where's your God? You prayed for him to be healed, and he died. And I'd look right at him, and I'd say, God answered that prayer because he got the ultimate healing.
Yeah, right. That's the way you have to look at it too, because he did. He's in a much better place. That's why people that are passing away. We had a dear sister at East 91st Street here in Indianapolis pass away, beloved by so many people, died rather suddenly from a stroke, you know, and you know, so you always wrestle with what to say to their family and things like that. And the reality is when a good brother or sister in Christ passes away, it's what I call bittersweet. It's bitter. It's a bitter pill to take on in your flesh because you're left behind and you're missing them. But it's sweet because you know that they're where they always were meant to be. They passed over from death into life, not life into death, death into life. And we're left here waiting until we pass into life, you know, eternal life. And so, yeah, he was healed. It was the ultimate healing. And, you know, and again, I come back with, did your church do anything wrong? Absolutely not. They did everything right. You know, anointed with oil, laid hands on him, prayed over him, prayed for God to heal him. And you had faith. You had your faith. But then you have to leave room in that equation for the will of God. What is God's will in all this? And God's ultimate will was, you know what? He suffered enough in his little body this in his short time. And
he
did
a lot of work.
Yeah, he did a lot of work, and he touched a lot of lives, and you know, got a lot of people's lives, you know, right with the Lord because of him and what went on there. You, your own testimony, you know, we wouldn't be sitting here doing this show, you know,
exactly,
if it wasn't for all that.
I probably would have never met you if it wasn't for baby Dwight.
I don't doubt that at all. And again, so that just goes to reinforce my point. We don't see what God does in the tragedies, in the margins. For sometimes, and the reality is you'll throughout your life, you'll continue to see, God will continue to show you things like how that led to this and that led to that and so on and so forth. I'm convinced when we get to heaven that God in his good mercy will, if if we're so inclined, or if he's so inclined, would you be able to show us the lives that we impacted? Like, you know, remember that time when this happened? Yeah, I remember that, Lord. Well, look, I'm going to show you the whole full scope.
The ripple.
And just let you see the whole thing, so you can just sit there in awe of God and who he is. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, and so Dwight, do you, if somebody is struggling, that's a Christian, non-Christian, I don't know if they found their way to the show, and we do appreciate the caller that called in. If they're struggling with this, what would your advice be to them in terms of like a strategy to get off of it? You know, what should they, obviously you got Jesus and God in the equation here. So
you need to have somebody that's going to hold you accountable. If you want to quit, you need to open up to somebody and let them know that you're doing it, you've been doing it, you want to stop. It's a hard thing to come off of by yourself, just like many of these demonic drugs, which, you know, I want to point that out. I don't just see this drug as demonic. I mean, I see heroin, crack,
well,
meth,
yeah,
all
right,
of these,
yeah,
things.
I mean, yeah.
Anything, yes. Anything that can take you over and control your everlasting thought, desire, your money, everything, it's demonic. It's possession. You're being possessed by a drug. How to get off of it, though? You got to be willing to first. Quit going to places that you're going. Stop hanging out with people that are smoking it.
Yeah.
Reach out.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, I really appreciate you coming in and sharing from your heart and sharing with everybody out there. I know that this is going to impact a lot of people, and people are going to be blessed by it. So I just want to tell you thanks.
Thank you for having me. I want to make sure I stress that spice is no good. No level of it is good. No amount of how you're using it is good. I don't care if you want to sit here and say you smoke it once a month. Once a month is too much.
Yeah.
Get off of that trash. Find the Lord. He's calling you.
Spice ain't nice. Sorry, I had to go there. All right. Well, thanks, Dwight. I really appreciate it. Hey, everybody. Again, if you want to connect with us here at Way of Truth Radio, the best way to do that is through our Facebook page at this point. We do have a website that's up, www.wayoftruthradio.com, but that's just in the construction phases now, so you're not going to find a lot there, just an intro page. But our Facebook page, you can just like us on Facebook, and that's where you're going to get all the updates of the upcoming shows, topics, things like that, discussions, comments, things like that. So be sure to go to facebook.com/ The Way of Truth Radio, and you can like us there. And then if you want to email us, you can email us at wayoftruthradio@gmail.com. That's wayoftruthradio@gmail.com. So those are the two ways to get a hold of us. So closing thoughts, final thoughts, you know, again, just like Dwight said, it doesn't matter what drug you're on. And I'm just going to say that maybe you're somebody out there and you're using Spice or K2 and you're like, you know what? Yeah, it's a good show, but I don't have those problems. I don't have those issues. I don't, you know, hear voices or have demonic oppression. I don't have a problem. You know, one of the things I told Dwight was, you know, here's a litmus test for you. If you don't think you got a problem, can you live without it? Can you live without it? Is it something that you're turning to when you should be turning to God and leaning on God and pressing into Christ? Are you instead leaning on a drug because it takes your mind away from your problems? It numbs the pain. That's a problem, folks. You may not be seeing voices or having demonic thoughts or anything like that yet, but that is the end result.
Does it help you run to the Lord? Or does it make you sit still?
There you go. Well, we thank you so much again for joining us tonight on Way of Truth Radio. And just God bless you all. And thank you so much.